Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, how to respond to a grievance. Part 3 of 4. The questions this cast answers are, what is a grievance? What are the typical steps in a grievance process? And what should I do to defend myself from a grievance against me? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
The most widespread skill in life is communication. And effective communication is the key not only for managers, but also individual contributors who want to have successful exchanges. Allow us to come to your organization and teach your team to observe and analyze behaviors that will allow them to tailor their natural communication to be more effective. It's not about being right. It's about being effective. Contact Maggie by emailing her at customerservice@manager-tools.com to learn more.
Now, this is really important. During your interview, you are not there to educate everybody or the investigator or whatever about what happened from some dispassionate third-party perspective. Again, rest assured, the person who filed the grievance made their case in as selfish a way as possible. Defend yourself politely and firmly. Answer questions briefly and precisely. Do not carry your professionalism or love for the company or the interest in having a full understanding of what happened so far that you end up saying something like, I can understand why they might have thought that. Again, this is an adversarial process. You are defending yourself. You are not finding common ground. And I encourage you, the nicer the interviewer is, the more they are acting a part in order to get you to let down your guard and just jabber on. And that is counter to your purpose in the session.
Do not volunteer information relative to the incident that you are asked about when you're asking questions. Save supporting information for your further defense in the interview when the interviewer investigator has finished asking their questions. So only answer the question you've been asked until the end. Do not be afraid to say, I did not say that. I did not do that. I disagree. I never said that. If you don't recall exactly what you did say, it's completely appropriate to say, to the best of my recollection, I said X. As I remember, that is not what happened. Here is what I said and did.
I'll give you another example. A guy was grieved. This is 20 years ago. A guy was grieved. And the complainant said it happened on a Friday afternoon. And she went home and had a terrible weekend, which added drama to the conflict, right? Well, the manager knew what incident she was relating to. And so the investigator said in the interview, did you, in fact, have this conversation with this employee at a very vague description, a conversation about their performance on Friday afternoon, the 5th of September? No, I did not. Well, it says here that you had that conversation. Again, all I can tell you is no, I did not have a conversation with that employee about their performance on the 5th of September. Now, you might be thinking, I should tell them it was on Monday. Right? Because it was on Monday, the 8th. But no, what you want to do is impeach the truthfulness of the accuser, because they're trying to use the weekend against you, where they were so distraught that they had a terrible weekend with their spouse and their kids, and they yelled at their kids. It was terrible. They were afraid they were going to lose their job and so on. No, I did not have a conversation with them on Friday. I'm sorry. I refute that. It did not happen. Okay. Well, they said you had a conversation. Well, I'm going to tell you, if I did, and I know it didn't happen on Friday because I was out on Friday, You have already been given wrong information in the complaint. If the accusation here is that I had a conversation with them on the 5th of September, I did not. And I can prove it because I can show you the receipts for the day I spent shopping with my spouse on Friday. My PTO day. That's the kind of thing. Don't mention that it might have happened on Monday. And then if in fact they say, well, by the way, they generally won't be able to go back to the person and say, we need you to update this. once the interview happens, the decision is made without further investigation generally. Be careful, guys. And this will help you in terms of your interviewing practice, interviewing for a job. I mean that. Be careful of questions that are phrased either inartfully or intentionally to create an assumption of truth in the accusations against you. And we use that word accusations with intent. You have been accused of something.
Yes.
For instance, suppose the question is, in the grievance, we'll say the accuser's name is Julio. In the grievance, Julio says, oh, by the way, it might also be an anonymous grievance.
Oh, that's fun.
And if it is, you should generally deny everything because you can't recall any general conversation you had with anybody whose name you don't know.
On a specific date.
Exactly.
Unless, of course, you have those receipts. That was a fun use, by the way, of the word,
yeah.
Of the slang also.
Yeah. So if they say in the grievance, Julio says you raised your voice regarding their response. Do you remember what you said? Folks, this is an ugly equivalent of when did you stop beating your spouse?
Mm-hmm.
This question assumes that you raised your voice and they want to know what it is you actually said. Because saying something and raising your voice are actually two different things. Questions like these, don't doubt it, are designed to incriminate you. Yes, there are investigators who believe that a verdict against a manager, as we mentioned before, is a plus for their career. It's ugly, but true. And you should not stand for it, both for yourself and for the integrity of your organization and protecting the process, the grievance process. The correct response here is, again, politely, without showing any anger. Not that we would fault you for being angry. It's reasonable to be feeling that. You could say, I can't answer that. The premise of that question is that I raised my voice and I didn't. So the question assumes something isn't true and I shouldn't have to answer that. So I won't.
Mm. You might recall our previous guidance about exit interviews where we made similar recommendations about
the positivity
of your language. I love that, Cass. I love that premise of honesty and positive language without necessarily revealing all.
Yeah, or impugning anyone.
Yes, and you might be recalling that. You might also be having a different experience. You might be thinking what we're suggesting is unnecessary legalistic or lawyerly. It isn't. If you were to answer that question as phrased, you couldn't argue with the interviewer writing in his report, when asked about what they said when they yelled, respondent replied that they said thus and so. And that sentence then says that you yelled.
Yeah.
It's damning and false. And if it's in the report, it will be seen as true. And this is, again, you may, if you've never experienced this before, you may not be fully cognizant, although I hope we've done a good job of convincing you, but you may not be fully cognizant of the fact that these are legal, formal proceedings. And without being respectful of that, the weightiness of it, you could falter. You could behave in a way that is flippant or simply not with the same level of rigor that's being applied to you.
And respect for the process and its significance to you. And you might, therefore, if you don't approach this with some rigor and understand the consequences, you could then, believing yourself to be a good person, which we know you are, hear an interviewer say, I just got a few questions just to clear this up. It shouldn't be a problem at all. These things happen all the time. You shouldn't worry about it too much. I've just got a few questions here that'll help me understand. And folks, you can't see this, but when Kate and Sarah and Mike and I and Amanda, when we record, we're on Zoom and we can see each other. And Kate is right now vigorously shaking her head back and forth going, no.
It's not okay.
The interviewer will do that. If I were the interviewer, I would probably start out with, here are the parameters so that you understood it. But I would also ask my questions in a fairly relaxed way.
Yeah.
Now, I wouldn't ask questions that I didn't have. Danger, Will Robinson. Now, I would have my questions written down so I'm sure I got them right. But I can assure you, if I were the union steward of someone who had been grieved and I was in the meeting with them and somebody asked that question, I would interject and say, I'm sorry. Regrettably, that's an objectionable question. I'm going to tell Stan, the guy I'm here sitting beside, who's being grieved, not to answer it because it assumes that there was yelling. And all I would tell him is, just say you don't yell. You didn't yell. Now, speaking of yelling, don't get angry when you hear questions that are like this. It's wrong. It's unprofessional. It's immature. It's borderline unethical. But we've already made clear the different incentives that exist in this process. Chalk them up to a careless or less than professional, less than fair, less than conscientious interview. Regardless of what your interviewer says about discussion or chat or just want to clear a few things up, they're basically to try and determine your guilt or innocence. We've all watched TV shows that are police procedurals, which the police say things like, you know, let's just clear this up right now. It shouldn't be a problem.
You don't need a lawyer.
You don't need a lawyer. Yeah. We don't have to go down to the station. Let's just have a conversation about it. And people are like, oh, okay, I can have a conversation. Don't believe it for a second.
It reminds me of any time there's a show that we watch where anytime somebody says, can we talk? It's like, uh-oh.
No.
The water is getting deeper.
Yeah.
Going back to raising your voice, yelling. If you think you may have raised your voice as an example, but you're not sure, you do not have to say, I may have raised my voice. Rather, we'd suggest you say, I don't recall whether I raised my voice.
Yeah.
So there, again, we're being cautious about our language. We are making sure we're not answering questions that paint us into a corner. And as much as I hate to say it, there's an additional danger you must
prepare for. Which we talked about, but we have to say it again.
Yes. The kind, pleasant-voiced interviewer, do not believe any investigator who calls himself an interviewer who says he is sure this will go away. Ugh. Do not fall prey to thinking that they are your friend. They are your adversary with power over you due to this process. They are likely behaving in a positive, friendly, engaging, collegiate way to help you drop your guard and make their job easier. Proceed upon the facts which they believe to have occurred, which are painted, by the way, by someone without your best interests at heart, who is out to get you. This person is an agent of the person who is out to get you. Do not allow a relaxed interviewer or interview, a feeling of relaxation in the interview, to help you talk openly. This is deadly serious business, and no kind-heartedness makes it any less so. In fact, kind-heartedness in this situation is largely likely disingenuous.
Yes.
And your professionalism should not waver. However, them coming into this in this way honestly lacks professionalism, I would suggest.
Yeah. Further, don't be afraid to impeach your accuser's performance or responses. Okay? Be ready to compare their responses, say, to negative feedback, to other people's responses on your team, indicating that others are fine with your behavior, but this direct is a unique exception.
Mm-hmm.
If they are routinely late or argumentative or gossipy or not respected by their team members, say so. Don't be afraid to mention your accuser's performance limitations without seeming to defame them in anger. For instance, I have had several conversations with this direct about his performance. I have been polite and professional while doing my duty to point out where he has not met standards. He has often accused me of picking on him. I'm quoting from him. He said I was picking on him, or singling him out for some reason other than performance. But I can show that that is not the case as you'll see from the records of my conversations with others about their performance and his. I am fair, honest, professional, and caring in my communications with my directs.
Also, do not assume that your interviewer will be inclined to let you defend yourself. If you fear this, we would, based on hearing about many of these over the years, you can state your own case before the questions begin, if you're worried that at the end there isn't going to be time for you to state your case. However, we recommend you simply tell, do not ask, the interviewer that you are happy to answer questions, and following her questions, you will have additional information which you have prepared and will be sharing.
In the same way that the accuser was able to gather data and write something up and edit it and talk to his union steward or a person who's a friend of his who feels inclined to help his friend, you get a chance to prepare as well. And you get to bring more to the table than just what the questions are that the interviewer, who is untrained in this, is going to ask you.
And certainly I can see the value in stating that you'll answer questions and then following the questions, you'll give your additional information, your statement, as it will. Because there might be things in the interview questions that you did not consider as part of what's happening.
Great point.
The likelihood that you may see an interaction as neutral or even slightly positive, whilst they see it as negative, means that because of course, their perception of you overall being tainted by what they see as this other grievance or by the grievance, means that you could learn about things that they are bringing up. And if you don't know those when you go into your data, you might not be able to address them in your pre-question characterization or your pre-question statement. So
yeah,
there's also that.
Yeah.
The interviewer often behaves as if their list of questions constitutes the entirety of the hearing.
Totally.
And that isn't true. So you stating, I'm going to say something after your questions or saying it at the beginning, whichever you feel would be better, is bringing yourself into a process where they're trying to truncate a process that frankly leads to one-sidedness, and the repercussions here are grievous. So of course we would need it not to be truncated or one-sided. Really, the more we talk about this, and of course, you know, since you and I have been talking about this cast for a couple of days, it really is terrifyingly without the assumption of innocence. I mean, it's really just in so many ways stacked against the person who's accused.
It's a star chamber.
Yeah. Even the fact that your accuser has been presenting their case in advance, has likely been interviewed, this hearing is your chance to present your case, to defend yourself. It might be your only one. Do not allow the interviewer to simply ask questions and then close the discussion.
Exactly. And we've said it before, we'll say it again. In our experience, HR personnel who conduct these interviews, many of them do a fine job, and we thank them for it. But sometimes, some of them realize the sense of power they have, and they're officious. They revel in the power they have, and that shows up in how they conduct their duties. Just the idea that HR could be seen to be acting as an employee's union representative in the event there's not a union is distasteful. That is not the job of HR, and it never has been, even though it's popular and there are some people who talk about it. One other thing, when you take questions, when you get asked a question, write it down. Okay, say, if you'll just take a moment, I want a moment, I want to write that down. And ask them to repeat it so you have it correctly. You can't do that in a job interview where they ask you a three-part question, because you ought to know the structure and form of the kind of multiple-part questions people are going to ask. But even a job interview, if that happened, if you answered two of the three parts, you could say, you know what, I'm sorry, I missed the third part. Could you repeat the third part? There's no problem. If anybody ever dinged you for that in an interview, that's like dinging somebody because they put salt on their food before they ate it at a meal interview. That's just an ugly way to evaluate another person. So you get a question, say, I'd like to write that down, right? Because you probably haven't been given a list of questions in advance. I've never heard of that. And you want to be able to describe truthfully the questions you've gotten in the event you want to appeal. And maybe your appeal is not formal, but maybe it's informal in terms of going to your boss and saying, here are the questions I was asked. This is how ludicrous questions I was asked were, right? If an area you haven't prepared for is questioned, spend a few minutes quietly preparing a refutation of those issues, which you will then include in your defense after the questions are completed.
And going back to our first point, keep a rein on your emotions. Getting the written complaint in advance will help enormously with this, much like our recommendation of always providing directs their performance review in writing the day before you deliver it verbally.
Yeah.
It can be an emotional thing, honestly, in so many cases. It's the tendency to feel defensive.
Yeah.
And defensiveness causes people to behave defensively.
If you're thinking defensively, you will talk defensively.
You can tamp down on your tendency to do that, having a little bit of time to think, to consider, to look at it as if it was happening to somebody else. That's how I usually do it. Think of it as if this was happening to somebody else, how would I speak against it or about it? If that's happening good. To somebody else.
That's very good. You know, what's interesting about that is because I've spent so much time advising people, not just on situations like this, but in everything career-wise, manager-wise, executive-wise, organizationally-wise, and so on, I'm always thinking
about that. Academic creep for you.
Exactly. But you're exactly right. Think, okay, how would I behave if this is somebody else and I was advising them? Mm-hmm. Or how would I behave if I heard that, but I had no dog in the fight, mm-hmm. right? How would I deliver my answer in a respectful way? Maybe not as complete as the interviewer would want, but in a way that is designed to defend myself.
Yeah. If you were presented with the data without the burden of your personal emotions,
yeah.
What would your response be? And I find that my best way to feel that is to think about it from somebody else's perspective.
Something else. Why wouldn't you sit down with a buddy and say, listen, I need some help.
Yeah.
I'm going to get interviewed. Here's what I think the questions are. I want you to throw these questions at me. I want to practice my answer. And tell your buddy. And by the way, if you want, get a little aggressive with me. And I want to practice my heart rate, my breathing, and my blood pressure.
There might also be an opportunity to show what the complaint is to a mentor or someone you trust who's outside of your organization.
If you get it, sure.
Yeah, and have them ask them, what would their counterpoints be? Yeah.
In fact, why wouldn't they share it with us? If you're a manager tools manager, if you're in our there community and you get grieved and you get a copy of the complaint, we would be happy.
Yes.
To look at the complaint and make recommendations, a plan for you. And if you need practice, I'll volunteer to spend 30 minutes practicing, asking you questions to prepare you so that you maximize your chance of being your very best self in your defense.
He's really good at question prepping people. I have never not gotten an offer for a job interviewed for when prepared by Mark Horseman for said job interview. Yeah. In the event, which is possible, that you feel the hearing wasn't professionally conducted or was unnecessarily one-sided, or you feel that you weren't given ample opportunity to make your own case, state your intention to raise this issue with your chain of leadership or potentially the interviewer's leadership, or to appeal the decision. Let them know that you are taking some ownership of this process and that you are not taking this lying down.
Yeah.
If you're in the Southern United States, you can come see us in Atlanta this September. Our EMC and ECC are coming to Atlanta on September 24th and 25th. You and your directs can learn about effective management or effective communication, or both, from one of our speakers, which also means you can ask a ton of questions. September 24th and 25th, sign up at manager-tools.com/training. That's it for this week, folks. Come back next week for a continuation of this topic.